In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a
That's
treat.
Right. It's time to talk movies. Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, where they have a film for everyone in the family. 557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor. Alan Adams from The Main Edge in studio with us and chatting during the break. We were hanging out, partying in the same place Friday night, didn't even know it.
Yeah, how funny is that, man?
Wow.
A good friend of mine, his bachelor party weekend, we were down in Portland, and we had reservations for dinner Friday night at Grace, and it turns out that you guys were in the basement.
Yeah, we were downstairs in the basement for the Jack Cosgrove celebration, had no idea.
Oh, that's really, small world.
It is.
It's
it
a
is
small
indeed.
World in which we operate.
Yes, it's true. We had a ball talking with your brother-in-law, Jude, last hour.
Yeah, he's a heck of a guy, that guy.
Man, oh man.
Yeah, and again, you know, it's I've moved past the whole, you know, him being incredibly good at just about everything. Like, I have some of those people in my lives, you know, and it's, well, frankly, there's something in the water down there in Cherryfield because all three of those kids are remarkably accomplished. So
he's a research scientist and ex-chemistry professor who also puts together phenomenal music parodies.
Yeah, and refurbishes and restores vintage arcade games, you know, in his spare time.
Like you do.
Like you do.
That was fun, and the music is so good. The whole thing is up on the website right now for anybody who missed it. And you, sir, along with going off and celebrating the impending doom, a marriage of friends. Kidding, Jason. Kidding. You also got to the movies. Whoa. Oh. Coming for you.
Hey, I got to go, guys.
I've made.
I'm sure this is going to come as no surprise, but there was literally one movie that came out this weekend, and it's the one that that everybody went to go see. It was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, massive box office weekend. I think the numbers I saw were something right around 140 million here at home, and their global take to date is somewhere just south of $450 million. Which is well over half what the original movie made during its entire theatrical run. So I have a hunch this one's probably gonna reach that billion-dollar threshold, and probably pretty quickly, just because it's, you know, it's a Marvel movie, and it's the sort of movie that's going to, I think, translate very well to the overseas markets. So, yeah, I think a ton of people are going to see it. And honestly, with good reason. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit. I'm on record as having been convinced that the first Guardians was going to be the first failure in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I was, of course, very, very wrong about that. Going into this movie, I really, really enjoyed the first film. Like, I thought it was great. I think it captured the comic bookiness of comic books as well, if not better, than any of the Marvel movies that had come before it. That sort of, you know, bright colors and sense of humor, and the baseline kind of absurdity that comes with, you know, I mean, you know, two of your main characters are a talking raccoon and a sentient tree. Like, I mean, if you have to lean into that for it to really work. And everyone involved, the cast, James Gunn, who was the primary screenwriter on this the second edition, as well as being the director. And I'll be honest, not a lot has changed. It's a similar film to the previous one, which I think is okay. I don't think you need to reinvent the wheel every
don't,
time.
Don't mess with success.
You know, it's one of those movies that's really. Really driven by the combination of wonderful effects work and what I would argue is probably the best ensemble of any sort of Marvel property. I think you could maybe make a case for more talented casts across the board, but in terms of cohesion between the performers, you're not going to do anything better than Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, who whose range runs the gamut from A to B, but this role as Drax really settles right square in the middle of what he can do. Bradley Cooper as the voice of Rocket, the raccoon, and Vin Diesel is back as Groot, only now he's baby Groot because the events of the first film have left him as a tiny little still growing twig, who is the emotional center of the movie, despite the fact that, again, he only says the words "I am Groot," which is kind of remarkable in and of itself. In terms of the narrative, there's not a ton there. Like, it's the standard, we're trying to do something, and we get sort of sidetracked by because we're kind of terrible people. Which is one of the great things about this whole movie in general, is that sort of lovable rogue kind of vibe that they throw off. And then you have the introduction of a new character named Ego, played by Kurt Russell, which is fantastic. It's long overdue for Kurt Russell to show up in one of these movies, where it turns out that he's an all-powerful being known as a Celestial. He has his own planet that he's kind of reshaped in his image. And oh, by the way, he's Star-Lord Peter Quill, played by Chris Pratt. He's Star-Lord's dad. And so we find out that the insufferable Star-Lord is actually half small g god. That goes about like you would probably expect it to go. But as always, things are not as they seem, and his friends start to wonder if maybe there's some less than savory motivations behind what's going on. And then things start getting big and blowing up and doing all the things that you want from your Marvel movies, and it's all interspersed with some really delightful sight gags and some great jokes. Honestly, it's these movies are probably the funniest of the Marvel movies. And, in retrospect, I look back on 2014, Alan, who was poo-pooing the idea of a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And, in retrospect, it's like, a comic book space opera filled with silly jokes and ridiculous. How did I not know that this was going to make all of the money?
One of the big surprises last time, too, was the success of the soundtrack. The music's so good that the soundtrack went to number one on the charts last time.
Yep, and the music in this one, again, is phenomenal. I feel like James Gunn pays as much attention to curating that music list as any other aspect of the filmmaking, which I think it was something of a lost art. Like, I don't think you really get those sort of carefully selected soundtracks anymore. And the reality is, several pivotal plot points hinge on the Looking Glass song Brandy.
Really?
Yeah, no, it features very prominently throughout this movie, which is delightful. It's just like stuff like that is what, it is what kind of captures that sort of anarchic, chaotic, free spirit that I think is what kind of sets this movie apart, as well as puts it very much in the sort of vein as the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
So you never expect the sequels to be as good as the originals. Where does it fall?
It's not as good just because I think in terms of the pieces that you get, they're more or less the same. But the reality is, so much of the appeal of the original movie was how surprised you were by how great it was. And going into this one, like, the expectations, I think, were very much elevated. And so, it doesn't necessarily reach the heights that the first one did, but that's okay. Like, I mean, it's still a very, very good movie, a very fun movie, a very funny movie. Again, I think it's just one more fence post along the way of the continued success of Marvel Studios and the Disney behemoth.
And so the summer movie season is officially underway.
Yeah, no, it's the clock is ticking. Next week we've got Guy Ritchie ruining yet another classic character of British literature with his King Arthur movie. Amy Schumer and Goldie Hawn are doing so we've got Kurt Russell and then Goldie Hawn back-to-back weekends.
Trailer for that.
Yeah, it's unfortunately named, and I feel like it kind of goes downhill from there. So
I didn't remember the name.
Snatched.
Oh, dear.
Which, opening the same weekend as Guy Ritchie, I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense. It's sort of a happy little accident there. But yeah, you know, but it's summer movie season. You know, they're not all going to be gold.
No. Well, you shared us shared with us last week your summer movie preview. What's the next one that you're really looking forward to?
Oh, that's tough. Like, I think the movie I'm most looking forward to, and it's not, I don't think it's coming until July, is Spider-Man Homecoming. But yeah, in terms of the ones that are immediately coming, I gotta say I'm cautiously optimistic about the new Alien movie, Alien Covenant. I am not one of those people who, I'm not a Prometheus hater to the degree that a lot of people are. I didn't think it was a great movie, but I didn't think it was nearly as bad as a lot of people thought it was. I think there's some potential for this one to kind of find that sweet spot between the mythology building and the sci-fi horror. If anyone can do it, Ridley Scott can.
There you go. Alan Adams talks movies with us every Monday afternoon. It's Past the Popcorn here on Downtown, brought to you by our friends at Bangor Mall Cinema 10, where they have a film for everyone in the family.
We usually don't have music going out, but I think...
we're not out yet.
No,
we're
not. Just think Alan needs Alan. A little music.
I like that. A little something there for Alan.
Oh, my God. But seriously, you're listening to Kurt Russell as some sort of godlike being using these lyrics to explain his relationship to a dude's mom. Like, how could you not love a movie that does that?
She's a fine girl. What a good wife she would be. It's a good song. I remember this song very well. Although not their best song of their two hits. I couldn't
tell you what the other one was.
Jimmy Loves Marianne.
Okay.
See if you can find that. That's a great one. This was huge. This was the bigger of the two by far. Went to number one. Great song. But the first one, the soundtrack of the first one was so good. Because it's my wheelhouse. It's those 70s songs.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I mean, right from the get-go, like, there's this massive opening set piece, this big fight set entirely to Mr. Blue Sky.
We were just talking about that earlier, what a role ELO is on and how many movies and TV shows are using their movie in the soundtrack.
Well, and that's such a great song, and it's a perfect song to, like, sort of play against type, I think. Mm. Like, that sort of, you know, you've got this huge, you know, monster fight happening in the background, and it's, you know, and Mr. Blue Sky is Mr. Blue Skying all over you.
Did you find it already, Carrie? Are you that
I think
good?
So. I'm afraid there may be there's going to be an ad that plays first.
Boo.
Yeah, these 5-second ads.
It's only 5 seconds. The other hit from Looking Glass from 1972. Oh, cue scratch at the beginning. I love that. The soulful vocals of Elliot Lurie. Why do I remember that? I don't know. It's, I'm not going to lie, it's a bit of a curse. Here's their other hit. Just 17, everything that you sing, it's all there. This one got played a lot.
Yeah.
From those scratches.
Yeah, from not a very good 45.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got a nice sound to it.
Oh, yeah. Get to the chorus. It's pretty good stuff here.
This will be in Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Well, it should be. It should be. Wow. That's a hell of a scratch on that.
Yeah.
Somebody did not put it back in its paper sleeve. Sing along if you know the words there in your car. I see you.
I think this might be the first time I've ever heard this song.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't it a good song, but I still don't recognize it.
Kind of thing you get here only on Downtown. Probably with good reason. Anyway, Alan Adams, thank you as always, sir.
Of course. It was my pleasure.